Good morning. How's everybody this morning? All right, good. Well, when you came in this morning, did you grab one of these? If so, you need to make sure that you open it up and let's go through it. If you don't have one of these, then you need to make sure that you get one on the way out because it's full of important stuff. So right after our morning service this morning, we are going to be having church family dinner. And boy, have I seen the food coming in, so I think it's going to be really, really good. So no Sunday school today because of our church, I know, because of our church family dinner. But there'll be Sunday school next week, okay? So on Wednesday at 12 noon, we have Joy Lunch at Sizzler. And again, Joy stands for Just Older Youth, but you don't have to be an old person. If you have the time available to come and join us at Sizzler for lunch this Wednesday, we'd sure love to have you come and do that. Thursday night is Awana, and we're just having a great time in our Awana program, so that is really great. Ladies, there's a lot of announcements in the bulletin for you, so please make sure that you pay attention to those. Also, out here on the information table, we have the new Daily Bread devotional books for the next quarter, which begins in December. So if you want to pick them up ahead of time, you only got a couple weeks to be able to do that. But they're right out there on the information table for you to be able to enjoy. So I don't think this praise went down the prayer chain close enough for everybody to be able to know. But you know that we've been praying for Megan, which is Jennifer and Brian's niece, who's also over in Uganda with Carissa and Kayla. And she contracted malaria. But they did tests on her yesterday. They ran her through her series of antibiotics, and they did a test yesterday. She has no malaria. So God answered our prayers. And so she and Carissa are returning back to the orphanage today. Jennifer's sister, Heather, is on her way there. Should be there in a couple hours. And so just continue to pray. Pray for that whole situation. But thank you so much. I know the Richies, and I know that Megan's family appreciates so much the fact that you took the time to be able to pray. We also have a little celebration today because there's somebody here in our midst that has a birthday. So who is that be? So Jackson, come on up. If you haven't met Jackson Gomez yet, you need to meet him today by saying happy birthday to him. But we're going to sing happy birthday. He is now a whopping 7 years old. Woo, boy. And he did tell me that he does feel older. And I can relate. Every day I wake up, I feel older. I don't have to wait for birthdays. All right, let's sing to Jackson. Happy birthday to you. All right, you ready to praise? Ready to sing? Ready to worship? Okay, worship is more than singing. And
yes,
so that's what our whole service is all about, is worship. Everything we do in our morning worship service is all about worshiping. Not worshiping us, worshiping Him. Amen? Let's worship.
Would you stand with me as we begin this morning? Jesus, Son of God. If you don't know some of the songs we sing today, then I hope you'll read those words and you'll worship in your heart as we sing.
You came down from heaven's throne. This earth you formed was not your home. A love like this the world had never known. A crown of thorns to mock your name, forgiveness fell upon your face. A love like this, the world had never known.
On the altar of our praise.
On the altar of our praise, let there be no higher name. Jesus, Son of God. You laid down your perfect life. You are the sacrifice. Jesus, Son of God. You are Jesus, Son of God. You took our sin, you bore our shame, you rose to life, you defeated the grave. And a love like this, the world has never known. On the altar of our praise, let there be no higher name than Jesus. On the altar of our praise, let there be no higher name. Jesus, Son of God. You laid down your perfect life. You are the sacrifice. Jesus, Son of God. You are Jesus, Son of God. Let's lift him up. We lift an higher than all you've overcome. Your name be louder than any other song. There is no power that can come against your love. The cross was enough. The cross was enough. On the altar of our praise, let there be no higher name. Jesus, Son of God. You laid down your perfect life. You are the sacrifice. Jesus, Son of God. You are Jesus, Son of God.
Would you bow your heads and pray with me? Lord, thank you so much. Thank you that you sent Jesus to die on the cross for our sin. Lord, thank you that even a wretch like me could receive grace. Lord, thank you for that amazing grace through Jesus.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. For I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. Hallelujah. Christ is risen from the grave. Hallelujah. Christ is risen from the grave. The prodigal is welcomed home, a sinner now a saint. For the God who died came back to life, and everything was changed. Hallelujah. Christ is risen from the grave. Hallelujah. Christ is risen from the grave. Oh, death, where is your sting? Oh, fear, where is your power? The mighty King of Kings has disarmed you. Delivered and redeemed, eternal life is ours. Oh, praise his name forever. Hallelujah. Christ has risen from the grave. Hallelujah. Christ has risen from the grave. And all throughout eternity, our song will be the same. Hallelujah. Christ has risen from the grave. And on the day you call me in to heaven's sweet embrace, I'll see your scars, your open arms, the beauty of your face. And through tears of joy, I'll lift my voice in everlasting praise. Hallelujah. Christ is risen from the grave. Hallelujah. Christ is risen from the grave. Hallelujah. Christ is risen from the grave. And all throughout eternity, our song will be the same. Hallelujah. Christ has risen from the grave. Hallelujah. Christ is risen from the grave.
Amen. Please go and be seated as we continue this morning. God is good. Amen. Christ is risen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Make room for him in our hearts.
Here is where I lay it down, every burden, every crown. This is my surrender. This is my surrender. Here is where I lay it down, every lie and every doubt. This is my surrender. And I will make room for you to do whatever you want to do whatever you want to. And I will make room for you to do whatever you want to do whatever you want to. Shake up the ground of all my tradition, break down the walls of all my religion. Your way is better, your way is better. Shake up the ground of all my tradition, break down the walls of all my religion. Your way is better, your way is better. And I will make room for you to do whatever you want to do whatever you want to. And I will make room for you to do whatever you want to do whatever you want to. Here is where I lay it down. You are all I'm chasing now. This is my surrender. This is my surrender. Here is where I lay it down. You are all I'm chasing now. This is my surrender.
Lord, we are here for you. We came to this place today to meet with you. The food's not important. The song isn't important. But you, God, you are important today. Lord, we are here to worship you, our maker, our creator, the King of kings, the Lord of lords, the one worthy of all praise, all glory, and all honor. We love you, Lord, and we will make room for you in our lives, our busy lives that we think are so important. We make room for you to shake up the ground of our traditions, our religion, all the things that are good but that get in the way of you. We make room for you today, and we love you.
You are good and all things perfect. Oh, I can trust your promise. I've never seen you turn away. You have loved me undeserving. Oh, I have seen your mercy. Follow me all my days. Oh, it doesn't make sense how your love is so good. You called me your friend and I thought I was too far gone. Now I know you're never gonna let me go. You are good, and you can only be good. You can't be anything else. You can't be anything else. Thank you. hindsight's always 20/20. I can look behind me and see just how far I've come. You've saved me from the brink of falling, mercy shutting doors before me. Now I see all the good you've done. But when it doesn't make sense and the future's unsure, I look at my past and I see you there all along. So I know you're never gonna let me go. You are good, and you can only be good. You can't be anything else. You can't be anything else. You are good, and you can only be good. You can't be anything else. You can't be anything else. You're good today, you'll be good tomorrow. You've always been good on your promise. I know that every good thing comes from you. You're good today, you'll be good tomorrow. You've always been good on your promise. I know that every good thing comes from you. You are good, and you can only be good. You can't be anything else. You can't be anything else. You are good, and you can only be good. You can't be anything else. You can't be anything else. Oh, oh, oh. You're good today, you'll be good tomorrow. You've always been good on your promise. I know that every good thing comes from you. You're good today, you'll be good tomorrow. You've always been good on your promise. I know that every good thing comes from you.
God is good, and he is worthy of our praise, because every good thing comes from him. Amen. The Father of lights. God is awesome. Let's recognize him today. Our ushers are going to prepare to take this morning's offering. And if you're joining with us as a visitor today, please don't feel obligated to give. Give because you want to worship God.
All my words fall short. I got nothing new. How could I express all my gratitude? I could sing these songs as I often do, but every song must end, and you never do. So I throw up my hands and praise you again and again, 'cause all that I have is a hallelujah. Not much, but I'm nothing else fit for a king, except for a heart singing alleluia, alleluia. I've got one response. I've got just one move. with my arms stretched wide. Oh, I will worship you. So I throw up my hands and praise you again and again. 'Cause all that I have is a nothing else fit for a king, except for a heart singing alleluia, alleluia. Come on, my soul. Don't you get shy on me, lift up your song. 'Cause you got a lion inside of those lungs. Get up and praise the Lord.
Come on.
Come on, my soul. Oh, don't you get shy on me, lift up your song. 'Cause you got a lion inside of those lungs. Get up and praise the Lord. So I throw up my hands and praise you again and again. 'Cause all that I have is a hallelujah. Nothing else fit for a king, except for a heart singing alleluia, alleluia.
Come on, throw up your hands.
So I throw up my hands and praise you again and again. 'Cause all that I have is alleluia, alleluia. And I know it's not much, but I'm nothing else fit for a king, except for a heart singing alleluia, alleluia.
Sometimes we let ourselves get in the way of worship, and we aren't willing to show God what he really means to us. So when you throw up your hands and you say hallelujah, which means praise God, praise Yahweh, you show the world you don't care about them anymore. You show each other that you're not worried about what somebody might think of you, but you're more interested in praising the God of all creation. So one more time, I throw up my hands and praise you, not me. You're not singing to me. You're praising to God, the God of all creation. Praise him again and sing to him hallelujah.
So I throw up my hands and praise you again and again. 'Cause all that I have is a hallelujah, hallelujah. And I know it's not much, but I've nothing else fit for a king, except for a heart singing alleluia, alleluia.
Wow, Jared, thank you. You know, the Holy Spirit, through Jared's direction, led us to think about some amazing words. Good. God is good. Do you agree? How many of you here agree that God is good? Yeah, well, 10 of you. How many of you believe that God is good? All right. Ah, now we're getting there. And promise. Promise. When was the last time you promised God anything? You see, sometimes as human beings, we're takers. We're not givers, especially when it comes to our relationship with God. We take all that God gives to us. And sometimes we make promises, but we never fulfill those promises. We're going to talk a little bit about that this morning in our sermon. Promise. Ooh, another one of those words I really love, surrender. When was the last time you made a promise to God to surrender all that you are, all that you have, all that you could be, all that you could receive yet today and tomorrow? When was the last time you said to God, I surrender? Surrender is a great word. Sometimes we get fearful of a word like that. And then gratitude. When was the last time you surrendered your gratitude to God for all that he has blessed you with? Are you warm this morning? Are you thankful that you were in a warm place this morning? It's cold outside. If we were to have church outside, we'd all be shivering. We'd have to sing a lot louder and a lot longer to be able to warm up, right? But we're in a nice, warm place. How many of you are thankful you're not sitting on the floor? Yeah, you got some nice comfortable chairs. You realize that there are people in Africa today that are worshiping God, like us, who are sitting on a dirt floor. Or they're sitting on pieces of wood boards laid across, settled on cinder blocks. I've preached in some of those churches. I know they don't have the comfort that we have. But in some ways, they've got more gratitude for God than we do. When was the last time we surrendered our gratitude to God? And not think that we have what we have because we're so self-sufficient. But we really come to terms with the fact that we have what we have because of what God has chosen to bless us with. All right, children, come on. We'll get you ready for children's church. Whoa, they just keep coming. Dude, that's a cool sweater. I like that, Lucas. All right, let's pray. Father, we want to be a people who know your goodness. We want to be a people who promise you things and don't go back on those promises. Father, we want to be a people who live our lives with surrendered gratitude. Our gratitude surrendered to you, because everything that we are, everything that we have, comes as a result of you choosing to bless us in the way that you have. And yes, it's true, you haven't blessed all of us the same, nor will you ever intend to do that. But Father, for whatever blessings I have, I thank you. I surrender to you right now, this moment, my gratitude. Father, for whatever you have blessed other people with, I surrender my gratitude to you on their behalf, because you have blessed them in the way that you have chosen. Father, we are a blessed people. Father, help us to live like that. Help that to be the motivation for us to be able to go through this day with our surrendered gratitude sent in its proper place, given to you. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, go and have a good time. While they're being dismissed, turn, if you will, to Luke chapter 17. We're continuing on in our study of thankfulness. Last week we looked at dynamic thankfulness. Today we are going to look at heartfelt thankfulness. And thanksgiving, if you haven't already figured it out this morning, I believe is imperative for the believer. Let me say that again. Thanksgiving is imperative for the believer. Now, when I say that, I'm not talking about a holiday that's coming up in a few short days. We are not to be thankful only for our many blessings, but also in spite of our many burdens. For life at its worst does not change the most important truth for which we are to be thankful, and that is eternal salvation given freely to us when we believe in Jesus as Savior. Now, there are believers in other parts of the world who have nothing of great value materially, and they've never celebrated the Thanksgiving Day, since this is kind of unique to America. But they live every day with a grateful heart. When I've had the opportunity to be able to journey to Kenya and to Ghana, and to be able to rub shoulders with believers in that part of the world, and to be able to see how by our standards, by what we would compare ourselves to them, they have nothing. But they have something that some of us don't have. They have thankfulness. They are thankful for everything they get to do from sunup to sundown. They are thankful for everything that comes their way from sunup to sundown, no matter how meager it may be. What a lesson that was for me. And I came to that realization in a very difficult way. As I was flying from Chicago several years ago to Kenya, I was thinking, why in the world am I even able to go on this trip? Why did God make it possible? Why did God allow people whose lives I was connected with to be able to give money, to be able to allow me to be able to take this trip? And then I got this really good idea while I was on the plane. And I thought, you know, I think I got it figured out. God, I'm going on this trip because I have done so much for you. God, I'm going on this trip because you have allowed me to be able to experience ministry in such a way that I would have never imagined. And I've been faithful to following what it is that you've wanted me to be able to do in my life. And Lord, you are blessing me by rewarding me with this trip. And then we landed in Nairobi. And if you've ever been in a foreign country, their airports are not like our airports. Their runways are not like our runways. We had to get off the plane out on the tarmac. We get out of the plane, it's 100 degrees outside. We leave the plane, there's humidity. We start sweating. We have to stand there and wait for them. There's no jetway that cools you off. There's no airport that cools you off. There's an airport, but you got to walk to get to it. We had to stand out there while the baggage handlers were emptying the bottom of the plane of our luggage and trunks that we had taken over there with us. And stand there, and stand there, and stand there. And these people that were taking the luggage off of the planes, they didn't think anything of it. They were thankful that they had a job. They were thankful that they could make an income to be able to support their family. Whoa, that was the first. The second was when we got to our hotel that we were staying at. And no, that was in Ghana. We got to our hotel that we were staying at when we flew from Nairobi we spent a few days in Nairobi, and then we flew to Ghana. We stayed in this, what supposedly was a 5-star hotel. We were there 3 hours and the water went out. And we had to wait and wait and wait for the water truck to come and bring us water. We had 2 5-gallon buckets in our hotel room. And when the water truck showed up, you had to take your buckets and go outside and have them fill up your buckets. And that bucket was for you to brush your teeth if you trusted the water. It was for you to shower. It was for you to flush the toilet. And when your 5-gallon bucket was empty, and both of them were empty, you had to wait for the water truck to come once again. 4 hours after that, the phone service went out. So there was no phone service. And this was in the days before cell phones were as prevalent as they are, and cell phone towers as they are today. And so you had no contact with anybody. You had to wait. So the Ghanaian that we had gone to visit and to be able to help minister to, the only information, the only time we got information was when he made his way to the hotel to be able to catch up with us. We ate sandwiches cooked for us or made for us, prepared for us from the hotel dining room because the power was out and they couldn't cook. But yet, the people all around us were so thankful. They were thankful for what it is that they had from sunup to sundown, no matter what it is that came their way. Oh, we as Americans, right? If we go to plug something into the light socket or into an electrical outlet and it doesn't work, we get what? Concerned, right? Oh no, what am I going to do now? You go find another outlet, right? Hello. Okay. And then you figure out what you're going to do after that. There are believers in other parts of the world who have nothing of great value. We visited churches, third floor. We did Awana in churches where we drew what you see on the floor here in the sanctuary, where you see this Awana game floor. We drew this same pattern in the dirt. And we played games with the kids in the dirt. And you know what? They had just as much fun playing on the dirt lines than our kids do on the lines on the floor and the carpet every Thursday night. They were just as happy. They were just as excited. It was amazing. It was like, wait a minute. We don't need big gyms with the Awana circles in them to be able for the kids to have fun. They're having fun out here in the dirt. Their clothes were not like ours. Their clothes were meager. In fact, for those kids who came to Awana, the best piece of clothing they had was their Awana t-shirt. And when they took it home, they took it off and they put it in a safe place so that nobody else would take it, so that they would have it the next time they came back to Awana. I was standing next to a little boy, and we had had this discussion about, oh, these kids are just like other kids. They have money in their pockets. So I asked this little boy, I said, do you speak English? And he shook his head, yes. And I said, do you have pockets in your shorts? And he said, yes. And so I said, what's in your pockets? He reached in his pockets, and out the bottom of his short pants came his hands. He didn't even have pockets to put money in. But you know what? He was having a great time playing on that dirt Awana floor, that dirt Awana game floor. Just amazing. They looked at us, and they little kids would come up, and they would start rubbing the skin, thinking if they rubbed it hard enough, our skin would look like theirs once they got all the white off. But they were thankful that we were there. But yet they've never known a Thanksgiving day. You see, we need to remember that Thanksgiving grew out of a tragic situation because the people of God who put their trust in him in spite of tragedy. Half of the pilgrims died the first winter in America. Their crop was so poor they had to ration out 5 grains of corn at a time. At one point, there were only 7 of them who were not sick so that they could help the rest of them. And yet these are the people who gave us Thanksgiving. Their faith did not waver with the winds of fortune. They labored 7 years to pay back loans to London bankers where they got the money to come to America. Elder Brewster, in the early days of Plymouth, could sit down to a meal of clams and a cup of cold water and look up to heaven and return thanks by praying for the abundance of the sea and for the treasures hid in the sand. You see, the pilgrims had thankful hearts while living with great difficulties. What a lesson that is for us, that thankfulness can even grow in the garden of sorrow when watered with the showers of trust in God. Robert Louis Stevenson, you may have heard that name, he's an author, spent most of life in bed with much pain, and he died at 44, but he saw more to be thankful for than most healthy people. He wrote, "The world is so full of a number of things. I'm sure we should all be happy as kings." Sometimes those who are the most blessed are the most blind. They spend their days complaining and miss out on great blessings because they lack the attitude and action of a thankful heart. And there's a biblical example of this found in the account of the healing of the 10 lepers. And it's found for us in Luke chapter 17. Hopefully by now you found Luke chapter 17. Follow along as I read verses 11 through 19. On the way to Jerusalem, Jesus was passing along between Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered a village, he was met by 10 lepers who stood at a distance and lifted up their voices, saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." When he saw them, he said to them, "Go and show yourselves to the priest." And as they went, they were cleansed. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice. And he fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. Now he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus answered, "Were not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" And he said to him, "Rise and go your way. Your faith has made you well." This morning I want us to look at 3 attributes of thankfulness, and one of those is that thankfulness is rare. Did you see that in verses 17 and 18? It says, "Then Jesus answered, 'Were not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?' And he said to him, 'Rise and go your way. Your faith has made you well.'" Here were 10 men in awful misery from the dreaded disease of leprosy who experienced God's blessing of mercy. But 9 of them never came back to say thanks. Why is this? Well, I've got a couple reasons for you. The first reason is a lack of thankfulness stems from being selfish. You see, from the minute someone is born, they are self-centered. Ever been around a child very long? All of life revolves around a child. And what makes them happy is good. And what does not is bad. Now, you can have fun with a child doing everything they want to do for hours. But then tell them no one time, and then they become what? Upset. And you know what? It's a shame when adults display this same unthankful attitude. Some people who have been blessed by God usually are more concerned about what they don't have than being thankful for what they do have. When Andrew Carnegie left $1 million to a relative, that relative cursed him, saying, "Old Andy left $365 million to public charities and cut me off with one measly million." Such ingratitude seems hard to imagine. Remember that a dog will wag its tail at a kindness shown. Yet these selfish 9 didn't take any time to come and say thank you. A lack of thankfulness also stems from being negligent. Maybe their minds became focused on other things. But this is another form of selfishness, because it leads us to forget the source of our blessings. Now these men, they were aware of their pitiful plight. They knew that there was no medical cure for their disease. Leprosy was a terrible disease. Leprosy started out as sores on the skin, sometimes on the hands, sometimes on the arms, sometimes on the legs, sometimes on the face. And before long, the sores would just get bigger and bigger. They would just grow bigger and bigger. And before long, the sores would go deeper and deeper. And if not cared for in a proper way, then those parts of the bodies that were affected by leprosy would begin to just fall off. Those who had leprosy were separated from the rest of the people. They were left to live outside of the city. And in order to be properly diagnosed as a leper, you had to go to the priest. That's why Jesus was sending these 10 lepers to the priest. He was saying to them, "Listen, you go and have it confirmed by the priest that you have leprosy." And when they started to make their way to the priest, Jesus healed them. Even before they got, did you catch that? Even before they got to the priest. They also understood that they would die a horrible death and they would be plagued by social stigma. They also understood that where there was no hope in medicine, there was great help in Jesus. These nine, along with the thankful one, knew Jesus could and would help them. And they took Jesus at his word and started to head to the priest. They asked Jesus for mercy and he heard them. And when the crisis was over, when they looked and saw that their skin had been healed, that they had been healed of this dreaded disease while they were on their way doing what it is that Jesus had asked them to do, when they came to that understanding, they no longer thought about their need for him. Lots of people, believers and even unbelievers, pray to God in difficult situations, and then they forget about him when the difficulty is over. You ever done that? God, if you will get me out of this situation, I will do this and this and this, except I won't go to Africa as a missionary, right? Because there's snakes there, because there's heat there, because there's dirt there. God, if you'll just help me through this, I don't know how to get through this. I don't know how to manipulate the circumstances to be able to make it work out the way that I want it to. But if you get me through this, I will go to church more. And then how long does that last? Or I will pray more. Or I will, you fill in the blank, more. Lots of people pray to God in difficult situations, and then they forget about him when the difficulty is over. Also want us to look at the fact that thankfulness has a proper response. Do you see that in verses 15 and 16? Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice. With a what? Loud voice. I think Jared tried to get you to praise God this morning with a little louder voice. Did he succeed? You answer that question. And he fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. Now, he was a Samaritan. And I don't think I have to spend time telling you the relationship between the Jews and the Samaritans, do I? It is amazing to think that only one did respond to the love and grace of Jesus and came back to thank him. How it must have delighted Jesus' heart to see this one return. You see, Jesus does not bless because he wants to be thanked. He blesses because he cares. Even if none had responded, Jesus would have healed them. He healed them out of compassion, his compassion, for their need. When God blesses us, he doesn't bless us so that he could be thanked. He blesses us because he cares. But because he blesses us, we ought to have a heart full of gratitude and thankfulness. You see, when we examine the response of this one who came back, we see that he came back with what? Praise and worship in his heart and life. When we know that God has done something for us, no matter how spectacular, no matter how small, we need to thank him with praise and worship in our hearts and our lives. Now, praise is voluntary. God doesn't force us to praise. It comes from the heart. And it comes from the heart because the heart cannot hold it back. It reveals the true nature of the person. Jesus never asked them to come back and praise him. But there was a man who lived in thankfulness. Only one came back. Only one came back. And every believer should be in that minority that always comes back with a grateful response. You see, it's easy to go to God with a request, but it's hard to return with a thankful heart and thankful words. Remember last week, we talked about the fact that thankfulness needs to be stated. We need to tell God. We need to tell the people that are in our lives. We need to tell those that are around us how much we love them and appreciate them. We need to tell God how thankful we are for what it is that we have. whether it's on par with someone else or not. We tend to think we need only to praise God when something spectacular takes place. But this reveals our thoughtlessness. For we have an abundance of things to be thankful for every day. And like I said, the best thing that we've been given is eternal salvation through believing in Jesus as Savior. You know, shame on the person who only has Thanksgiving once a year. Now, someone once said that a good idea would be to set one day a year aside to do all our complaining and murmuring and have the rest of the 364 days for Thanksgiving. I like that. I really do like that. The next thing I want us to see is that thankfulness has a reward. And Jesus said to him in verse 19, "Rise and go your way. Your faith has made you well." There is great blessing in the possessing of a thankful heart. It helps to appreciate life and God's abundant blessings. One day, William Steiger was thinking of people who had helped him in life, and he remembered a teacher he had had who went out of her way for him. He wrote her a letter of thanks, and here is the reply he received. "My dear Willie, I cannot tell you how much your note meant to me. I am in my 80s, living alone in a small room, cooking my own meals, lonely, and like the last leaf of autumn, lingering behind. You will be interested to know that I taught school for 50 years, and yours is the first note of appreciation I ever received. It came on a dark and cold morning, and it cheered me as nothing has in many years." A friend of William Steiger reported that Steiger was not a sentimental man, but he wept when he read her response. We could all receive so much more if we would state our thankfulness more often. Our thankfulness to God, our thankfulness to others. A poet once captured it this way: "Were not the 10 made clean, yet only one returned to lay his worship at Jesus' feet in thankfulness for what the Lord has done? The other 9 were hurrying to meet the friends of other days that they might find a hearty welcome and a bed and food. Their utter selfishness had made them blind to the supernal law of gratitude." Do not these lepers typify the race who crave God's many blessings day by day? And when he lavishes his amazing and beneficial grace upon them, one by one, they go away. And once again, we hear Jesus repine, "Were not the 10 made whole? Where are the 9? When we know beyond a shadow of a doubt that God has blessed us, that God has done something for us, shame on us if we're like the 9. Shame on us if we don't praise and worship him with thankfulness in our heart. You see, thankfulness should not be the second action we do. It should be of first importance in our daily actions and attitudes. Poet George Herbert once wrote, "O Lord, you have given us much. Give us one thing more. Give us a thankful heart." Father, that's our prayer this morning, is that you will give us a thankful heart. Father, may we not be like the 9. Father, may we be like the 1 who, because he realized what it is that you had given him, Father, given him not because he deserved it, not because he earned it, but because of your grace, because of your love, because of your mercy, because of your compassion, that he came and he gave you his praise and he gave you his worship. Oh, Father, may we give you our praise and our worship for what we have, not for what we don't have. Help us not to be murmuring and complaining about how you bless others, but help us to be thankful for how you've blessed us. Father, give us a thankful heart. For it's in Jesus' name we pray.
Would you stand with me? Let's work up an appetite. Got one last song here. Seen what you can do, O God of wonders, your power has no end. The things you've done before, in greater measure, you will do again. 'Cause there's no prison wall you can't break through, no mountain you can't move. All things are possible. We believe it. There's no broken body you can't raise, no soul that you can't save. All things are possible. The darkest night, you can light it up. You can light it up. Oh God of revival, let hope arise. Death is overcome. You've already won. Oh God of revival, you rose in victory, and now you're seated forever on the throne. So why should my heart fear what you've defeated? I will trust in you alone. 'Cause there's no prison wall you can't break through, no mountain you can't move. All things are possible. There's no broken body you can't raise, no soul that you can't save. All things are possible. The darkest night, you can light it up. You can light it up. Oh God of revival, let hope arise. Death is overcome. You've already won. Oh God of revival, come awaken your people. Come awaken this city. Oh God of revival, pour it out, pour it out. Every stronghold will crumble. Hear the chains hit the ground. Oh God of revival, pour it out, pour it out. The darkest night, you can light it up. You can light it up. Oh God of revival, let hope arise. Death is overcome. You've already won. Oh God of revival, the darkest night, you can light it up. You can light it up. Oh God of revival, let hope arise. Death is overcome. You've already won. Oh God of revival, oh God of revival. Lord, take us out of this place today in victory, knowing that you can do all things. Lord, we praise you today for your goodness. We praise you and thank you today for Jesus. And God, we lift you up as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And we all say together, amen. Would you have a great lunch in the name of Jesus?